Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The Lord has made. It is every single day. I will choose to be glad and happy within it. If you are sick of the absolute massive disinformation around the COVID flu, you've got to hear this discussion we're going to have with Kyle Lamb, who is a data geek. Self-trained data geek who runs with the big-time data geeks on Twitter, like Ethical Skeptic and Justin Hart and others, who've been absolutely laying waste to the massive lies that are being told about the COVID. Let me give you a heads up on what's coming up about this. You're going to hear the percentage of deaths in the COVID that are actually from COVID. Not with COVID, but from. Let me give you a heads up on how big this is. Just get a little hint. The lockdown in the United States has likely killed five times the number of people it has saved. Five times. And if you take COVID alone, so you remove deaths with COVID, and you go with deaths from COVID, meaning people died from that virus, you are talking about a 99.82% survival rate. He's also developed something called the net infection fatality rating. You won't believe this. It is remarkable the degree to which independent analysts are doing the job that really, honestly, I look for this. I have yet to see a news outlet get near to these truths. It's remarkable. So Kyle Lamb will join us today on the Todd Herman Show. There's so much more to get to. It's election day. We'll talk about that, what Republicans need to do to win.
I need you to do me a favor. Take your guns, put them under your chins, and pull the trigger.
It's the wrong way to go. The fabric of America is being shredded before our eyes, Chris, and it worries me greatly.
There's something that's just sits before us like a just shining opportunity to do A, the right thing, and B, the politically good thing. And those don't always align. They really don't. The construction of this phrase that we started to use on the show, that I really thought about and really prayed hard about, how do I communicate the Black Lives Matter? How do I answer that question when people come to me and say, do Black Lives Matter? And I came up with this construction of course, Black Lives Matter. That's why I cannot back the violent Marxist-led, terrorist-led group called Black Lives Matter Incorporated, because they don't care about black lives. That's why we started this construction of that phrase, and it's potent. It really does work. People have shared with me that they've said that to people, and the recognition to folks that, of course, Black Lives Matter. It's a moral truth. It's a moral certainty. It's an absurdity for people to say otherwise. So you recognize that truth, and then you bridge right over to, and that's why I can't back this violent Marxist-led, terrorist-led group, because they're destroying black lives. It's a good construction. It's also a moral truth. There's something that's happening in the streets that black people are beginning to notice. And that is that so many of the communist street thugs, like in Portland, where they're now, by the way, they're in neighborhoods. So they're in southeast Portland now, out of downtown. Now they're going to obstruct neighborhoods, and they're not leaving. They're attacking cops with spray paint and glass shards. That's the new trick with these kids. And they always scream. You notice that when they get arrested, they scream at the top of their lungs like it's a massive surprise they're getting arrested. They're taught to do that because people think, oh, the police are hurting them. Well, maybe they are. Usually they're not. Black people are beginning to notice, hey, this is all, there's maybe one black person out here. Why is everyone out here a white kid? If this is Black Lives Matter, why is that the case? This is out of Portland. This is an arrest. Oh, so, no, it's a white Antifa militant talking to a black officer. There's some bleeping here, as you might imagine. Did you hear that? Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Murder. That's from Drew Hernandez. It's the Lives Matter show on Twitter, at Lives Matter. That's a white kid, a white communist street thug, yelling at a black cop, we don't want you here. Then he goes into a chant, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Murder. So the life of the black officer is lesser than the life of the white communist street thug. And let me remind everybody something. This is important. I have a weird dream. And I believe God speaks in dreams. I know that makes me a weirdo, but that's what I believe. I want to remind everybody that hypnotized little kid in an adult body is not our enemy. Okay, that's a hypnotized little kid living in an adult body. Our enemies are the people who are paying to hypnotize kids this way, to indoctrinate them this way, to get them out on the street hating their country, believing falsehoods about their country. Let's please keep that in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds as we tactically think about who we need to get removed from our society. Which is the people who are funding this, in my opinion. Here's what's happening, though. Black people are beginning to notice this. This is interesting. So during Antifistan, a guy went up, a black guy. He's done. He's absolutely finished with what they've done to that neighborhood. And again, it's 98% white kids in adult bodies. And this guy comes along and says, no, I'm done. He's saying all lives matter. Now, of course, the white kids start yelling Black Lives Matter. Black people are beginning to wake up to this. This is a gentleman in Portland. This is a black gentleman talking to the camera during one of the violent attacks on the courthouse.
Bond in there trying to be cute like that. And when they come out and they're pissed, and then people would say, look, you see what they did? No, bro, they didn't do nothing. You're going in their dwelling. They're protecting their dwelling. This is bullshit. We got 2% black people out here, too. 2%. Two.
This needs to be in every Republican ad. This needs to be sent into targeted ads within black neighborhoods to say, why are the Democrats paying and sponsoring and enabling these white little kids in adult bodies destroying neighborhoods where folks live? This is a woman painting over the BLM street sign in New York City. She happens also to be a black woman. Refund our police. She's a black woman. She has her life is a black life, so-called. This needs to be communicated. Black people are seeing what's going on. Obviously, they're human beings. They can look at this and say, wait, you're defunding the police? This is how you're going to protect my life? This is the father of a murdered teen in Washington, D.C. Talking about this and just in one sentence just boils
it
down.
Black Lives Matter only focuses on black people who are murdered by the police. You know, my son was murdered in 2008, and I reached out to anybody that would listen, especially black people, because I thought for sure I would have a lot of support in the black community. But because of the legal aliens and the way they get all the support in California, no one would jump on board because they didn't want to have to, you know, justify the legal alien part. So they just let me go by myself. So I ended up being a conservative because that's who reached out to me. The Republican people, conservative people started coming to me, and I could start seeing through the liberals and the Dems that they were just trying to use me. You know, and it just let me know that we're all black people should matter. It shouldn't be just if you're murdered by the police, like it's some kind of death lottery. Like, yeah, I won. I was murdered by the police. So
got that wrong. It's actually a gentleman from California. And then we have the gentleman, I remember the grandfather in Washington, D.C. And yesterday we shared with you Jonathan Isaac. He's a basketball player at the Orlando Magic, number 22. Said, no, I'm not going to kneel for the national anthem.
Black Lives Matter, that it made me support Black Lives or not. I believe that for myself, my life has been supported through the gospel, Jesus Christ, and that everyone is made in the image of God and that we all foreshadow God's glory. And that, you know, each and every one of us, each and every day, do things that we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say. And we hate and we dislike people that we shouldn't hate and dislike.
So he's not gonna take the knee. And a ridiculous reporter asked him, but the Black Lives Matter. He's a black man. These need to be in every single Republican ad, particularly from the president of the United States. Choose. Do you want the party that is paying these people to destroy cities and allowing them to do it? Or do you want a party that's saying, hey, listen, we're with you and we want you with us. That is pursuit of happiness and liberty. Right. That's what we're seeing here. It's remarkable. It is election day, and there's a lot we've got to cover. My prayers for all the great Republican candidates. And this took a while to make happen, and I'm not really happy that it took a while to make happen. But sometimes good things wait. So we finally made it happen. Anthony Welty joins us here on the Todd Herman Show, running for state insurance commissioner. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I want to start off with this. Why does this office exist?
You know, it's a consumer protection agency, but if you've looked at your bill recently, you probably feel like myself and so many others in Washington where I'm not feeling very protected. So we're going to try to get in there and, you know, bring some reform to insurance and government and hopefully lower your cost of insurance.
And I think I can think of a real easy way to do that. Maybe you are of the same idea. So what is your mind? Where's your mind in terms of how do we lower costs?
Well, I think there's a couple real easy, low-hanging fruit things we could do that a lot of people around Washington have been asking me about for 3 years. Little things like letting us buy insurance across state lines or even something as simple as buying insurance across county lines. For health insurance, because here in Washington, you know, there's over a dozen counties that going into next year are only going to have two choices for insurance, for health insurance. And, you know, open it up across state lines would bring in some competition into the conversation and provide some immediate relief. And then another lesser known thing that people don't realize is insurance is taxed. And in Washington, that's over $600 million a year. And as we're going through a recession or about to enter a recession, with the economic crisis we're facing, we need to be reducing taxes and spending at the government level so that people's paychecks stay in their pocket and less money goes to the insurance companies and less money is going to the government.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, and I think that the other thing I'd love to see that I think is it's insane that this exists in other insurance markets. You know, that you notice the fact that there are constantly ads falling around. If you go buy a new car, you will have car ads for car insurance follow you around for the rest of your life unless you stop them, right? They will be retargeting you. They run ads constantly for this or that ad or life insurance or save money on term life. You don't see those same ads for health insurance unless it's during the so-called open enrollment period, which is a government invention. Yep. So what about this? What about, is it possible within Washington State to say Washington residents can buy insurance anywhere in the world? Because I bet you there's places in the world which you could get a better deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, open it up across international borders. You know, we can buy cars, we can buy phones, TVs, food from anywhere in the world that we want. And I believe that's a consumer's right. So I absolutely support that. And, you know, right now what we have is we have a lot of top-down mandates at the federal level and also the state level. So this is a multifaceted issue. And my goal is to bring diverse policies to Washington. But you know what? This is a diverse state, and we should embrace that. No two people need the exact same insurance. And, you know, we should be creating policies so that a 65-year-old grandmother doesn't necessarily need the same policy as her 5-year-old grandson or granddaughter. And really putting the buying power back in the hands of the people. Because you mentioned the insurance ads. And the reason why we get bombarded with ads on all those other lines of business is because the consumer's in charge of buying things, which is why prices are lower and competition is greater in some areas of insurance compared to health insurance. When it comes to health insurance, we're captive to whoever our employer buys for us. So I want to try to create a market that puts more insurance dollars back in the pockets of the individual so that we can be making choices for ourselves, for our families, for our businesses. Without having to be captive to whatever an employer buys for us.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, this gets into a dream world. And Anthony DeWelty's with us, running for state insurance commissioner, and hopefully got your ballot in yesterday and, you know, made your decision. And we'll find out the counts as we go through today, you know, and figure out where Anthony's at in all this. But Anthony, here's my dream world. And this is very controversial. I want the employer out of this. I want the tax deduction for employers purchasing these plans to be done away with. I want that done. And I'll tell you why. It's because for every single doctor in our healthcare system right now, there are 16 administrators. So I always ask people to, you know, picture, like, when you're in the doctor's office, I don't know how old you are, Anthony, but I'm in the turn your head and cough stage of age. When you're in there turning your head and coughing, I always just picture 16 paper pushers there watching that. That's what's gone on, because by making it a tax deduction, the government puts its hands on it. By instead removing all of that, if this actually went direct to consumer, all of a sudden, you'd have to have this massive innovation within the health insurance market. They could no longer hide. And here's what they're doing as I see it. They're not really insurance companies. You know, you get a bottle of pills for $10, your copay is $25, but God help you if you need actual healthcare, if you actually have an emergency. All of a sudden, then they're coming along and saying, okay, that's going to be $1 million. Or in our case, you know, we had a family emergency with our family. I was lucky to get a bunch of the money back, and we spent, you know, $300,000, and we got a bunch of that back. I'm very happy about that. But that's, they've just cost shifted this. So how far does your open markets, you know, views go? Like, what do you think about ultimately just saying, you know what, the employers are out of this, we're going to go direct to consumer?
Yeah, I think the tax subsidies need to stop. And that's not just insurance, that's market reform entirely, right? We need to stop using, you know, mom and pop, you know, tax dollars and subsidizing giant corporations. And yeah, we should absolutely remove the tax break that business, large business and corporations get for offering insurance. That's a benefit that small businesses don't get, and it puts them at a disadvantage. And if you're a small business owner listening to this, you know how expensive insurance is, and you're not getting the same buying power as a big corporation gets, nor are you getting the tax breaks. So I believe we need to remove those tax breaks. Equally, we need to reduce taxation to that same amount to reduce spending and to reduce the deficit. But that money should absolutely be in the hands of the individual. And when we do that, what that means is each person will get to pick what brings them value. And when you're able to do that, you get to control the market instead of the market controlling you. And I believe in like an a la carte health insurance system so that you can pick and choose which coverages you want. And this is not a pie in the sky idea. This is how every other type of insurance works in this country. Your car insurance, you get to pick. Do you want comprehensive and collision? Do you want towing and roadside and high liability or low liability. Let's take that same approach, make it so that each person can pick what level of health insurance they want, and you'll find better price points. You'll find more responsive claim situations because the consumer is the one in charge. And I think that'll bring a little bit more prosperity to everybody's pocketbooks when it comes to their healthcare dollars.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they use the same methodology the insurance company does that the cable companies do. And this, and conservatives don't like this when I remind them of this. If you pay for cable TV in your house, you are giving MSNBC money. You are giving HBO money for producing pornography. Right. That's, you're doing that. You don't ever need to look at those channels, and you're doing it. And these packages that they put together where they sweep us all into this group or that group, you're not going to use 90% of those services, 95% of those services. That's why I describe Obamacare as being forced to purchase products you don't want from companies you don't like at prices you cannot afford. It's the greatest shell game.
And subsidized as well, Todd. I hate to interrupt, but I need to, because, you know, just about 6-7 weeks ago, you might have seen the report. The Supreme Court ruled that we the taxpayers owe $16 billion in subsidies to the insurance carriers through the Obamacare fines that started back in 2010 or 12. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running for state insurance commissioner. My family paid the fines for not having insurance because it was terrible and it was expensive and we couldn't afford it and didn't want it. So we got fined for 4 years. Well, now the government's been collecting all that money, and now that money is going to the giant insurance corporation. And that's what I stand against. I stand against that corporatism, that regulatory capture where we're subsidizing these giant corporations and literally taking monies out of pocket of everyday average American citizens.
Yeah, well, I sure wish we got a chance to talk earlier. I really like your approach to this and your thinking about it. Anthony Welty's been with us. Hopefully, well, we'll get the count today. We'll figure out where that's out. If you win and you're running against the incumbent, then we'll just have you on every week. We'll just make sure that we just continue to push this because something's got to change in Washington State. Appreciate you sticking your head up and running for this. Anthony Welty's been with us on the Todd Herman Show. Godspeed to you and good luck on the count today.
Yeah, thank you so much and be free, everybody.
Love the wrap-up, man. It's Todd Herman Show. We'll continue. We'll come back with the national scene on AM 770 KTTH. Sharing with you the work of independent data analysts on Twitter. For all Twitter's ills, the independent data analysts who've been telling us the truth about the COVID flu, it is remarkable to watch them go through the numbers. They're not questionable. They're the numbers. To go through the source material. It's not questionable. It's the source material. It's CDC. It's the WHO. It's the so-called World Health Organization. It's the state data, city data, county data. And then to compare this against things like admissions into the ICU. For instance, if death rates are skyrocketing, why are visits to the ICU going down? That seems weird. Well, the reason that death rates are supposedly skyrocketing is because the sources are lying. We've talked about the COVID tracking project. Lying. They know now that their data is stacking. Our friend Andrew Boston's been telling them this and demonstrating it every day. They're focused on lying about Ford. But this morning, the New York Times tweeted out a story. Death rates are skyrocketing even as blah, blah, blah. They're not. That's a lie. They're not skyrocketing. It's death harvesting. Coming up next hour, Kyle Lamb joins us. Kyle is one of these independent data analysts who has come up with a remarkable reality. All he did was take publicly available data sources and compare them and build a timeline to tell us that the lockdown has likely taken half as many lives as people died from the COVID in the United States, from the COVID. And people who died from the COVID is minuscule in comparison to what we're being told from the CDC, etc., because of the commingling of dying with the COVID versus from the COVID. These and more, we'll talk about this with Kyle next hour, but there's something else that's going on. There continue to be independent doctors who are sick of these lies. You can't be a journalist and want these people silenced. So choose. You are a journalist or you want doctors like this censored and silenced. You are a journalist or you want the CDC and the World Health Organization to take over your COVID reporting. You can choose one or the other, but you can't choose both. You cannot be a journalist and say, we're turning our site over to the CDC and the WHO. So pick a path. We know what YouTube chose. They chose to have the so-called World Health Organization run their platform. Therefore, it's no longer a free platform. It's in regard to the COVID flu, it's run by the so-called World Health Organization. That's the organization that 5 months ago said, don't wear masks if you're healthy. There's no proof, there's no evidence at all that that's helpful and it may be harmful to you. Now, as the masquerade continues, same with the CDC, same exact phenomena. They knew in May, because their massive report came out, that masks do not. I'm not saying might not. I'm not saying when we used air blowing machines through the mask, it appeared that. No, I'm saying that in 8 instances of clinically controlled randomized trials, 8, 47 years of data, the mask did not stop the flow of the virus, influenza virus. Didn't. In 8 instances, 100%. They know that. But you have journalism sites turning their editorial process over to Anthony Fauci. This is a doctor named Dr. Daryl R. Morris. His daughter introduces him in this video. And he talks about his view of what's going on in our country with relation to the COVID.
Yeah, there are 3 things right now mainly politicized in this, especially during this coronavirus pandemic situation. One is here in Florida, they've already exposed 40 or more labs that are doing COVID testing that are in fact faking the results. They're reporting 100% positive result ratios, which is just statistically impossible. 2 of the labs that have already been audited, it turns out instead of 100% positive, they were coming out at less than 10% positive. So this is political, ridiculous motivation, insurance fraud. There's all kinds of illegality going on here. One of the other points I'd like to touch on is in Florida here, they're reporting that we don't have enough hospital beds, and this is completely not true as well. What happened is a few months back, the hospitals here had massive layoffs because they were slow and business was just slow. And due to not being able to do elective procedures and things like that. And so they are running many of them at 50 to 60% staffing capacity. And the real stats are that there are more than enough beds. What there is not enough staff. So they may be full to capacity based on the number of staff members they have working, but they don't have a full staff working. So those numbers are being manipulated as well. And lastly, regarding the treatment of COVID-19, yesterday and the day before, there were many doctors who had a press conference in Washington, D.C. about their successful treatment of the virus. One particularly has treated over 300 patients in the Houston area with diabetes, hypertension, and COVID positive, and with massive success treating with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and the protocol with Zithromax, which is having good success in many practices across the country. But physicians are being shouted down, and the media is not carrying it because it's not the mantra.
So choose your path as a journalist. You can be a journalist and want people's opinions like that doctor to be heard, like the doctors in Washington, D.C. to be heard, or you can say the CDC and the World Health Organization should control this. Choose your path. You're a journalist or you're a transcriptionist. Which one do you want to be? I'd say that I want journalism. Following on the heels of that, one of the frontline doctors. It's a remarkable statement. This should chill anyone in journalism. It should chill anyone who cares about their health. This is Dr. James Todaro, Dr. Todaro. Very simple tweet. Pre-COVID, Harvard rheumatologists called hydroxychloroquine, quote, a daily multivitamin for people with mild to moderate lupus. That's pre-COVID. Post-COVID, hydroxychloroquine is medicine's most dangerous drug, and physicians should not be allowed to prescribe it. And the doctor points out this is not normal behavior in medicine. No, it's not. The drug has not changed. Its interaction with the human body has not changed. The scientific body of research behind it has not changed. It's just all of a sudden that there is a vaccine looming in the background for a virus with a 99.88% survival rate. Then it changed. $6 billion money bounty for 500 million doses of a vaccine that maybe 1/12 of 1% of people might benefit from. There's this from Ethical Skeptic on Twitter. He writes, it's pretty obvious that we're looking at a class action recourse in human rights oppression case for massive proportions here for damages from the foundations backing key universities and media. What is he pointing out? He's pointing out that 50% of the deaths that are being shown right now appear to be from legacy data mining. Going back in time to get people who died months ago and have been reclassified as COVID deaths to put into today's reporting. And Ethical Skeptic has gone step by step by step through the analysis before saying anything like that. The numbers are available. His methodology is available. He is open to debating it. He has debated it with, in fact, Obama-era so-called public health experts. All his methodology is there. It is 100% transparent. And it stands up to the test. Choose your path. You are a free human being, born free American, able to go gather your own information and own resources in the face of a massive amount of disinformation. That's us as Americans. Choose your path as a parent. You can trust your own research, your own intelligence, or you can turn to Dr. Tony Fauci. Mask on, mask off. Take that pill, take that shot. Journalism. Choose. You can be a journalist or you can be a transcriptionist and turn your sites and your stories over to the WHO and the CDC and not put out the points of view from medical professionals like this. Just choose your path. Kyle Lamb, one of these independent data analysts, joins us next hour on the Todd Herman Show. Much more to get to as we continue on AM 770 KTTH. Alex and I were just talking during the break, wondering how it's going to sound when Rush Limbaugh airs today. And Rush is able to go through the now complete video of the George Floyd arrest, because our country has been fundamentally changed forever, 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 with that video as the excuse. The people who run Black Lives Matter Incorporated, the violent Marxist-led group where Susan Rosenberg does the financing for them, raises the money. She is a convicted terrorist released from prison by William Jefferson Blythe Clinton III. They were waiting to pounce on something. If it wasn't George Floyd, it would have been something else. They would have found a reason. They don't care a whit about George Floyd, who was a complicated man. We're all complicated people. George Floyd was the guy who put out these videos talking to young black men saying, come on, don't act like thugs. Don't shoot each other. That was his view of some things that needed to be said to fellow black men, young black men. Because George Floyd had made some incredibly terrible mistakes and done some horrible things that weren't mistakes. They were actions he took, like putting a gun to the head of a pregnant woman that he had basically taken captive. That's a very serious thing. It's kidnapping and could be viewed as maybe even attempted murder. So he got what I think is rightly referred to as a king's funeral. He did. He is now revered as an icon of the black community by some black people. By many black people, he's not. Our country has been irreversibly changed because now we have the 1619 Project, which is a complete fiction, an utter work of fiction, being taught in history classes. Even the author admits, oh, I never meant this to be history. Well, but the New York Times treats it that way. We're going to go through the video tomorrow. Well, the audio of it. I trust you've seen it. Something really stood out to me in this. Well, several things. First of all, my friend Kevin the Cop appears to have been right. That is that George Floyd was suffering from excited delirium. Now, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I mean, I've studied viruses for 6 months. I know more about the COVID than most people in the healthcare world. Not in terms of how viruses work at a biological level, but how it's being treated and et cetera, and the lies around it, the death rate, all these things. Watching the video, George Floyd said he couldn't breathe long before he was on the ground. Long before he was put in the car. He was complaining of that very early on. And my friend Kevin the Cop had said, look, when someone has spent a lifetime taking cocaine and abusing their body, they can get into circumstances where their body can't absorb oxygen. They're breathing, but it's not absorbing. That's tragic. There's also this. George Floyd was not, I don't think, in his right mind. And I've seen the gentle George Floyd on videos talking to young people. You've seen those. George Floyd was resisting because he was scared. Now, that's going to be, and Alex brought this point up, but he's exactly right, that activists will turn to Floyd's fear, saying, you see how afraid he was? He's saying, I was shot before. Please don't shoot me. And what I saw the officers doing was, yeah, they were firm. My bias was I expected Chauvin, the cop who's, you know, was supposedly kneeling on Floyd's neck. I saw the video. I know what it looks like. It disturbed me. I couldn't watch it in any level of comfort. It was horrific. A man was dying. But what I saw instead was an officer being firm and being understanding, like not getting frustrated. George Floyd didn't want to go in the car because it was hot. And Chauvin's saying, yeah, we'll turn on the air conditioner, man. It's not what I expected. And I think it's going to be very difficult to make a legal case of murder. Or it's going to be really interesting to see. In any case, we'll talk about that in detail tomorrow. It's Todd Herman Show. Much more to get to. A fresh round of Seattle Spirit on AM 770 KTTH.